That was beautiful, wasn't it? Great. What a message. Let the truth be told, amen? If we could just connect with the Almighty, what a difference it makes in our life. It's hard to say that someone you can't see or touch makes a difference in your life. But see, when we see him, we see him. He's no longer hidden from us. He's no longer absent from us. He becomes very, very physical in your presence. He's always there when we're hurt. Always there when there's trouble. We just need to learn how to connect with him. Amen. So that was a beautiful song. You guys done really, really good on that. I've not heard that song before, but it's beautiful. I almost started singing the words to it. That's how good it was. That was wonderful. Take your Bibles and turn with me, if you would, to the book of Judges. The book of Judges. We're going to talk a little bit about a guy who I think would fit. We could all fit into this category with him. Not a whole lot said about him. It's not like Paul. We know a lot about Paul. We know a lot about John. We know a lot about a number of people in the scriptures. But this one, he is pretty obscure. You don't hear much of him. He's not someone that you'd say, well, I hope my child grows up to be like him. But because very few people know that he's there. It's because he's not spoken of much. And his time span was small. But what I want us to look at here, although his span that he served was small, what he did was powerful. See, we don't have to have something that carries us all of our life somewhere. All we have to have is loving him, caring for him, taking care of ourselves with him by prayer, fellowship, and the Word of God. We need that presence in our life. Amen? Let's stand. Judges chapter 3 and Judges chapter 5. We're not going to read all that all the way to that. Just put your finger on 5. You know, Israel was much like we are, much like America, much like most churches that I know. What we really do is, we say we're going to serve him, and we do for a while, and then we don't. That's exactly what God faced with his people throughout the whole book of Judges. There was times when they were focused on him, and there was times when they were not focused on him. There were times whenever they accepted whatever he said, and there's times he rejected everything that he said. Verse number 31. Judges 3. And after him was Shamgar, the son of Anath, which slew the Philistine 600 men with an ox goad, and he also delivered Israel. Verse number 6 of chapter 5. In the days of Shamgar, the son of Anath, in the days of Jael, the highways were unoccupied, and the travelers walked through the byways. Father, we're thankful for, although there's little said about Shamgar, there's a lot that he has done for your people and for us, Lord. Just to look at him and to examine who he was, what he done, how he done it. To help us in the day we live in. Lord, we live in a very difficult day. A day where the name of Christ is almost to the point it's hated. We're living in a day where people don't want to hear that there's a holy, loving, righteous God whose love is never changed by our actions. You just love us perfectly. And I pray, Lord, that the world might know that Jesus is Lord I pray this morning for those that are here. We're thankful for every person that has come this morning. We pray, Lord, that you'll touch every heart that is here. Draw us closer to you. Don't let us leave here, Lord, without you speaking to our hearts. So have free rein this morning, Lord, to speak. I pray for an anointing. Unless you anoint me this morning from the top of my head to the bottom of my feet, all I've got is just words that aren't powerful. But when you anoint it, it goes forth and it accomplishes whatever it is that you sent it for. It works the work of God because it is the breath of God. It is the very mind of God. Help us understand this morning, Lord. If there's one here lost and undone, I pray they'd be saved. Maybe there might be some here that's, Lord, they've made confession, but yet they're not really, really have connected with you. I pray that you would draw them to you. May the Holy Spirit pull them, woo them, teach them this morning of your love. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen. You can be seated. You know, during the days of the judges, Israel done what was right in their own mind. That's what the Bible says. For a while they would follow him, and then all of a sudden something would happen, and they'd get pulled further and further and further away until it got to the place where they just done whatever they wanted to do. I think we're like that in a lot of ways here in America. I think a lot of people around us, I'm talking about church life. There's a lot of people in church life that don't focus, don't really have a true, open, real relationship with him. Because if we did, I do not believe that church people would do what church people do. I believe that he can come into our life, the Holy Spirit, who is God in spirit, and dwell within us. And I believe this with all of my heart, that he can take us and he can lead us to righteousness, to truth. He will convict us if we just walk with him. If we just walk with him. Because sometimes we get out there by ourselves trying to do something and God hadn't called us to do it. Sometimes we want to just thank God as a buddy who, when I get ready to go fishing, he'll be there for me. You know, I can just ask God anything and I'm going to get it. Well, that's not the way the truth is. The truth is just simply this. God is a loving God. He loves every person on the face of the earth that has been born, that is living now, or who will be born in the future. And he knows their names. He knows where they live. He knows everything's going to happen to them throughout their life. But what he wants more than anything is for us to follow his plan. When we walk in his plan, there's a lot of stuff we avoid. But when we try to do it on our own, we have to go through a lot of trials, a lot of troubles, a lot of temptations, many, many times. So let's just take a look, if you would, at this man, Shamgar. And we want to tell you, the title says, God will use you. God will use you. A lot of times people say something like, well, God can't use me because of such and such is in my life. God can't use me because I've done this or I've done that. Let me tell you something. God can use a billy goat. Amen? God can take a billy goat and do anything he wants to do with that billy goat. He could take that billy goat and say, here's the gospel. And the billy goat, let me tell you, would probably take the gospel further and more alive than what we do. Because the billy goat never thinks they're equal with God. And when we don't do what God asks us to do, the Bible says we call him a liar. Just that simple. That's it. If we don't do what God's asked us to do, we call him a liar. And what we're really saying is, you don't know what I know. I know what is better for me than you do. Well, the Bible says, how in the world can we even know our own heart? Because it is wicked above all things. So we want to look at this man here, and it's really neat. His name was Shamgar. His dad was Anath. Now, Anath is a pagan name. Anath is a name of a goddess of love. The only thing is he's a blood, how he said, he takes those people, according to what the history says, that they believed that he was the God of love, but yet he was also the God of war and the shedding of blood. So we look at this guy here that we know nothing about, and we look at him and we see he comes from apparently a place where you wouldn't expect a Christian to come from or someone to do something for God. He's never been mentioned in the Bible other than these two places. King David never said anything about it. King Saul never said anything about it. Solomon never said anything about it. John, Paul, none of the apostles said anything about it. Matter of fact, Jesus didn't say one word about him either. So he's a very obscure man, and we really don't know much about him. But, you know, whenever we understand this, God takes, he don't take the mighty, God takes the humble. And God will take the humble, and he will make them mighty, not in their power or in their will. But listen to me, here's the thing about it. When God takes a humble person and they follow God's plan, they never become heady or high-minded if they humble themselves before the Lord. And that's not so hard to do. All we have to do is realize that he is greater than we are. And all we have to do is humble ourselves in his presence and say, Lord, whatever your will, that's my will. But Shamgar, the Bible says here, he done some amazing things. He said that all he had, that he had killed 600 Philistines with a plow tool. The goad that he had was a long stick. One end was like a ball where he could punch them along, get them moving, keep them in line, the sheep. the plow, I said the sheep, but I meant an oxen. At the bottom of that rod was a carving out of the wood about this wide, about that long, and it was used to clean the plow, keep the plow clean. So apparently he must have been a farmer. He raised, apparently, crops because he had the oxen. He had the oxen tool to keep them walking and pulling that plow. And he had the means of cleaning that plow so he could make the work look good. So he was somebody much like us, just an ordinary person. Nothing fancy about him. He wasn't some king or somebody that was important. He was probably very little known about him. And so what we want to do, we want to look at him and see if there's something about him that we can grab hold of. The Bible says, for you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. It's the simple, everyday life that people live, that God uses. We don't have to do great things. We just have to be obedient, no matter what it is. So here the Bible talks about Shamgar, and we know he comes from, apparently, his father, although he was an Israelite, he apparently was serving in some gods around him, of the people that were around, false gods. And the Bible says that he would take that particular tool, and he killed the enemy. Now, how did he do that? God didn't look at him and say, well, you know, you've got everything I need. God probably looked at him and said, I've got everything you need. That's what God wants. God has everything that we need for this life. There's nothing that we need that he does not supply for us. But you know what? He told the children of Israel, if you will do what I tell you to do, if you will obey me, submit yourself to me, I will be your God. You will be a particular people to me. That's what God wants out of us. Just somebody that loves him and will walk with him and do whatever it is he asks us to do. And here's the simple thing. Jesus said it real simple. Love the Lord your God with all your heart. With all your heart. You know what that means? That means with every single fiber that's in your body, every single thought, spirit, whatever it might be, to love God more than you love anything else. He said, that's the first thing. That sounds pretty simple, doesn't it? That, you know, everybody said, well, I can love God because he loves me. Well, what? Wait a minute. But Jesus said, also, love your neighbor as you love yourself. See, all we got to do is love God more than anything else and love our neighbor more than anything. And everything we do will please him. Because what God wants us to do is love. Love. Because when we love someone, care about them, God or we ourselves do special things for them when we love them. Like with your family. You do great things taking care of your family, right? And you will give them the extra. I know whenever, well, Wanda still does it now. If we have something that the kids want and we don't have enough for everybody, you know who gets it? The kids. We give it to them. Why? Because we want them to have some joy. Now, I'm not talking about cars and stuff like that. I'm talking about just small things, how children are. But Shamgar was a perfect example of what it was, an ordinary person living an ordinary life, doing some supernatural things that God had gave him opportunity to do. So let me ask you this question. What is it that keeps us from moving forward? What is it that keeps us right where we're at instead of moving forward in the Spirit of God? Paul said, I want you to grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what is wanted for us. And ain't it funny how Shamgar, who was not known as a champion, but here he moved forward without anybody's help. He done it all on his own. Shamgar himself, listen, he moved forward when it looked like it was impossible. Sometimes we stop before we even try. Do we not move forward because we're afraid we're going to be rejected? Are we afraid that we're not going to meet somebody's standard? And it sort of holds us back. And we don't do what we know that God wants to do. We don't live the way God wants us to live because we're afraid that it might offend someone or someone won't like me anymore. Shamgar didn't care about that. He did care about God's people, and he wanted to deliver them from the Philistines. And so he took on his own under the anointing of God, and he done what God had laid in his heart to do. What has God laid in our heart to do? What has he laid in our heart to do? And I know without a doubt that God lays things in our heart and on our mind that he wants us to do that will not only bring glory to him, but will bring much pleasure and satisfaction to us. Because, see, our spirit is really crying out to him. God, Lord, fill me. Fill me with your spirit. Lord, fill me with you. That inner man, that man that's been made alive unto God, who lives within you, who you are, that man cries, or woman, whatever you are, cries out to God because he or she wants to do exactly what God wants them to do. But we got a troublemaker. Got a troublemaker. It means simply this. Our flesh is our troublemaker. That inner man wants to do so bad. If you've been born of God, that inner man wants to please God. That's all he wants. But the flesh so often I would say probably more often our flesh wins out over our spirit. Would you say that? It don't have to. Paul said he brought his body under subjection. Although those things were there to tempt, he brought his body under subjection and lived by the laws of God. That's where we need to be. Do we not move forward because of we'll lose friends or family? Why do we hold back? Sometimes it's just because we're just happy to be where we at. We're just complacent. We don't want nothing to change. We don't want nothing to go, nothing to grow. All we want is us forward, no more. You know what I mean? But God wants us to move forward with the message. Listen, our message, our mandate is this. Matthew 28:19-20. That we might go forward winning souls for Jesus and making disciples out of them. That's what he wants us to do. That's what we have to do. And we don't have to ask him because it's all over the scriptures on what he wants us to do. Just be faithful to him. God will bless your work even if you don't have anything to work with. You know that? There's been times when I've been able to have the Bible and just take the Bible and out of my pocket and say, here it is. Now everybody's got a Bible in their pocket, don't they? With our cell phones. We have God's Word right in our hands. We've got a very tools in our hands that we can take and share the gospel with others. We can show them what the Word of God says. That's in everybody's hands. Nobody I know of can't do that. He used some strange stuff sometimes, didn't he? An ox goad for Shamgar. A little slingshot for David. A rod in Moses' hands become a rod in God's hands. Whatever it is you have, God will meet your needs. What do we have that God can use? You personally. Let's think about that. Your job. On your job, of course, now, I guess now kids are back in school. But your job, either at work or at school or in play, no matter where you're at, I want you to know that God has something for you to do where you're at. It don't matter. Listen, it don't matter. And on our jobs, you have so much opportunity, not just with your coworkers, but with people that you meet, to show the love of God, to demonstrate to them that God loves them. I'm not saying we need to beat them in the brow and say, listen, you accept Jesus. That's not what we do. We just say, God loves you. Let me tell you what he's done for you. Because, you know, there's a lot of people who don't know what God's done for them. I mean, you would think that that's not true, but it is true. And it's all around us. It's everywhere around us. People don't know him, don't know what he's done. They have no idea what it means to walk with him, no idea what it means to be born of God, no idea what it means to be forgiven of our sins. They just don't know. But on the job, we can serve him. In our homes, listen, guys, in our homes, we should be the spiritual leaders in our home. Amen? We should set the example for our family to go and serve God. When we do that, I'm telling you, the Bible says that we're to teach our children from the time they're little, time they're born, that we teach them about God. And we put the Word of God before him. And we just serve him in everything that we do. And what he wants us to do is to lead our children to know, love, and serve him. That's what he wants. Now, see, now we've got some grandkids that we can do that with, some of us. A number of us had grandkids. We can do that thing, stuff with. But it's our responsibility. Parents, don't leave your children alone when it comes to God. You have the responsibility. Because I can tell you this. You have the responsibility to teach them about God. And we send them to a place that teaches them there is no God. And that whatever you say is archaic. And it don't mean anything anymore. And we're not smart enough to know the difference. But we send our kids there. And then at home, we don't know how to address some of the issues that they face at school. It's our responsibility. We need to know these things. We need to know that how God created everything. They need to know that, yes, God created the dinosaurs. Yes, they did walk on the face. God created them. John chapter 1, verse 1 says, everything that was made by him, and nothing was made that was not made by him. That means T-Rex was made by God. Amen? And everything that there is, the Bible explains everything that this world says they don't know what it is. The Bible explains it. All we have to do is read it. But when we do that, we need to do that with our kids, and we need to know what our kids are learning. Another thing that will mess up is our history. Our history. I'm talking about my personal history. People say, well, you just don't know what I've done. I can't come to God. God won't forgive me of that. I can't serve him. A lot of times in prison, you'll hear that. Well, I don't know. God ain't going to use me. You don't know what I've done. Well, let me tell you something. Every one of us have a history. Every one of us has some kind of skeleton in the closet. Amen? Amen. If you live very long, you have. And I know what my history was. And I know that if God can forgive me, and if God can change my life, he can change anybody's. See, our history don't matter. We need to forget what was back there and look what's happening right now and what God can do for us in the future, how God can lead us. I'm telling you, forget yesterday, forget last week, forget last month, last year, and let God lead us forward. We don't have to be equipped. Shamgar weren't equipped. God will equip us if we'll just move forward. And it takes every aspect of what we have. Understand this. Paul, writing to the church at Philippi, said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. God gives us the power to walk in the freedom of relationship with him. God works despite the times. Do you notice the Bible said here that Shamgar, when he was living and God was using him, said the highways were unoccupied and the travelers walked through the byways. In other words, what it's saying here, listen, the regular highways, nobody took those because there were so many murderers and robbers on it. Nobody took that road. They made their way through trails through the woods to avoid those people because on the regular highways, their life was in danger. When communism threw the Christians out of China, there was a small contingency of Christians, just a few. And in the massiveness of China today, they are over 10 million. I know there's a lot of people there. But it's grown. And you know how they do? And they were told not to share. We're being told some strange stuff now. what we can and what we can't do. They're beginning to sort of look at the church now and see how to manipulate the church. God's church will never be manipulated because the Bible says the gates of hell will not prevail against it. I'm not saying they won't face obstacles. There's people around the world this morning meeting in hidden places, and they don't have tablets with the scriptures in it. They don't have Bibles with the scriptures. They just have some memory sometimes, and they might have a small portion of the Bible. And if they're caught this morning worshiping God, they will be put to death. And look at the freedom we have. I remember whenever you guys went on the trip to Belarus for Awana. They were limited on who they could tell and share the gospel with through their government. They had to be careful. What was it? You could talk with an adult, but you couldn't talk to the children. All I'm saying is that we live in a time that is difficult. But it's not difficult for God. God has everything, and he will take what we have and our wills to give to him, and he will multiply it, and he will strengthen it, and he will do what he has meant to do, and that is to touch someone's heart. See, all we can do, we can speak, and it just goes in our ears and out our ears. But God can take those words that we speak that's on their way in and out, and he can carry it and turn it into the heart and touch our heart with it if we are willing to do it. And it don't matter the outcome. You know, I remember seeing those Western stories whenever the gunslinger would come in, you know, and they notice the notches on his handles where he had been in so many gunfights and had won all those gunfights. Well, the truth is, if we fail, it don't change God's love for us. If we don't accomplish what we think God's leading, God still loves us. And here's the thing about it. When we think we're not doing anything, making any difference, I'm telling you, there's people being touched by it. Your life, touching somebody else's life with the gospel, with the love of Christ, it makes a big difference. It really does. So what we need to do is make sure that even though times are tough, do not forget our mission. Don't forget what God wants us to do. And it don't matter the outcome. If you share the gospel all your life and you never lead one person to the Lord, if God don't use you at that capacity, you will not be judged because you've got zero in the win bracket. But we will be judged how many times we've shared that gospel. We're responsible for that. We're not responsible for winning. We can't win anybody. We can't win. God's the one who does that, not us. And so we have to realize that despite what it looks like the outcome is, God's still in control. And if we'll just leave it to him, great things will happen. Great things will happen if we leave it to him. But we have to take that thought and make sure that we give that to him and let him take care of us. Because if we will, he will do mighty things through you. Mighty things. And I believe he wants us to stand up in the day we live in. So is there things that keeps us from moving forward? What holds us back? A lot of times, it's the lack of unity. Churches need to be united together. Every single person in the church should be united together. We should love one another, pray for one another, care about one another, and something going on in someone's life, we should be there for them. If they're hurting, then we need to help them. If they're hungry, we need to feed them. If they need clothing, we need to clothe them. If they're sick, we need to visit them. If they're in prison, we need to visit them. We need to do those things that God's asked us to do. And when we do that, you'll be blessed. But the trouble, if we're not unified, there is nowhere in the world that we can move forward. Nobody can. So we have to be aware of what the focus is. We used to have the bulletins every week. We're going to start the bulletins back. But every week, right at the top of the sheet, was our goal for the church. And that is to reach people with the gospel. Exhortation. Fellowship. That's what God wants us to do. I remember the fat dog days when the church come together to get a fat dog. And we didn't do anything. We just loved one another. We just was there for one another. And we just enjoyed each other's company. But people nowadays have got where we're pulled apart. Too many things going on in our life. We've losing our focus, and God wants us to be focused on Him. Sometimes we don't serve Him. You know, it's a good thing that when Shamgar saw the need, he moved forward, and he did not have any help. It does not record any help. He didn't go for the army. He just done it himself. So, but a lot of times we get self-centered. We focus more on ourselves than we do anybody else. And God wants us to focus on everybody else before we do ourselves. It is to love others just like we love ourselves and to do for others and meet their needs, even if it takes what I have to do it. Sometimes we don't move forward because of our spiritual immaturity. We don't read. Church, here's what we need to do. We need to read our Bible every day. We need to have fellowship every day. When the church meets, we should meet. Sunday night, Sunday morning, Wednesday night, Thursday, Friday, fat dog night, whenever that might be. Need to be together. Need to be united because I know it's been tough this year, but we still can do things that will honor God and will build a relationship between us, each one of us, that we can learn each other's needs so that we can love them. If we don't do these things, the church pays a big price for it. Pays a big price for it. Because our children, listen, when you start talking about the Lord and what He's done and what He can do, a lot of people just snicker. They laugh, they smile, and begin to, you know, they'll talk with one another. But the truth is this. God loves you. And God has paid the price for you to have life. And if you will just look upon Him, trust Him with all your heart, God will give you life. You know, I hate to think that whenever I die, I've got no hope. That it's all over. But the day's coming. The day's coming when Jesus is going to say, come forth. We're going to all come forth. The day's coming when we'll stand before Him. And every tongue say, Jesus is Lord. I hope we're ready for that. We don't have to have anyone to lead us in our spiritual walk. We don't have to have somebody tell us what to do. Shamgar didn't. He just did it. He saw the need and he done it. We need to do things for the kingdom of God. We need to do things for the fellowship. We need to do things so that we can move forward for God's glory. Are you ready to do that? Are you willing to do that? Is it possible to do that? If we're afraid to do it, let's ask Him for some courage. James said, whatever it is that you need, if you lack wisdom, you just ask God. And he won't just give you wisdom, he'll give you an abundance of it. He will let you know. He'll speak to your heart in that still small voice, and he will lead you because he loves you. But we have to love him more than we do this world and more than we do ourselves. If we do that, it's because he's given us the ability to do that. And every one of us, although we might not be equipped, he is. If we're not equipped, he is. And he can do anything if we will make ourselves available for him. We can reach the world for Christ. Reach our families for Christ. Serve him with our hearts. Let's pray.